Proverbs 6, let's stand if we would. I'm going to preach on a very familiar subject. I've probably preached on it a handful of times over the years. A very well-known subject and something that we need to deal with today. Proverbs chapter 6, look in verse 16. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. Pray you'd help us today. And Lord, pray you'd give us direction in how to preach this message. Believe this to be the message for the hour. And God, I just pray that you would help hearts to be attentive and that to your word. And Lord, I pray you'd help us while we preach. I pray you'd anoint us afresh and that from heaven. And I pray that you'd give us clarity of mind and clarity of speech this morning. Let me say all that needs to be said, no more, no less. And God, I pray that you might touch us while we preach today. Help the one that's lost, that needs to get saved, touch them. And Lord, that they'd move, and I pray you'd help the one that might need help. Lord, there's folk in here today that no doubt has needs, and I pray they'd just give them to you. Would you please just help us now, and we'll thank you for it. Hinder Satan from this service, and we'll give you the glory. Save that sinner to near his tail for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, it's very familiar to a lot of people if you've studied your Bible at all. But the Bible said these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. And so right here we find out that God hates some things. A lot of people, they say, well, God don't hate nothing. Well, that ain't what your Bible says. God does hate some things, and I believe right here he tells us seven of them, and as a matter of fact, he not only hates them, but he tells us right here in verse 16, he says seven are an abomination. That word abomination means an extreme hatred. Not only does God hate some things, but he really hates some things. And I mean, some folk need to get a hold of that. And I think we all do need to get a hold of that sometimes. That God is love. We understand that God is love. But God can also hate. And that is hard for us to reconcile this morning because we've heard it for so long that God is just love and God loves everything and God loves everybody. He loved everybody at Calvary. I have no doubt of that, but he hates their sin. And I'm going to be honest with you, if they don't trust him, they're going to end up dying and going to a devil's hell because they're going to die in their sin. But right here it tells us the very first thing that he hates and that he calls an abomination is a proud look. And that's what I want to deal with this morning, and that is the subject of pride. It amazes me that in our nation, the month of June is what they call Pride Month for the queers and the transvestites. I don't understand that. How that veterans, and though you know veterans only get 2 days in a year. You get Veterans Day if you're still living. You get Memorial Day if you're dead. But the LGBTQ, the transvestites and the queers, they get a whole month. I don't understand that. And they call it Pride Month. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is very few things good in the Bible said about proudness and pride. I think in one point he does talk about that God does reward the proud doer. And what he's talking about there, and there is something for me and you to take what's called pride in our work. I take pride in how I look. I try to look good. When I come to church, I take a little pride in how that I get here. Amen. I'm trying to take a little pride in my front yard right now at my house. I'm straightening it up, trying to make it look good. I'm trying to make it look better than what it generally looks. Amen. Just trying to do a little work. Or why? Got a little pride in it. Got a little pride in my work. I know that I'm a good electrician when I need to be a good electrician, and I can be a hack when I want to be. Amen. I know those things. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. The word pride is simply it is simply defined as an inordinate self-esteem. And that word inordinate means excessive or not limited to rules that are prescribed. And it's an inordinate self-esteem or an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs and often in contempt of others. What's it saying? You think you're better than somebody else. You think that you're better than they are in everything and in every way, and that's what gets you in trouble. But I want to look at this, what the Bible says about pride. Now you pray for me this morning, okay? Listen, pride is something that can slip in on us. And that's why I hate this sin the most. And this sin scares me the most. You say, well, aren't you afraid of quitting? I've told you I'm afraid of that. I am afraid of that. But the only reason I'd quit would be because of pride. You see what I'm saying? Pride has to start in your heart. When you're going to sin in anything, it all starts out with pride. You know why folk won't come and get saved? Pride.
Amen.
They are just not going to kneel and that to the Lord. They're not going to believe what they must believe in that to be saved. Brother Bob dealt with that very well in Sunday school this morning about what it takes to be saved. I heard the gospel all my life. Believing the gospel was not the issue. I mean, I grew up with that thing, but there come a day I had to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save my soul. And that's what folk have to do, but it's pride that keeps them from the Lord. But notice he said right here that these six things, seven, are an abomination, and it is the proud look. I'm going to tell you what we must guard against in our Christian life. And I've seen it in myself just this past week trying to well up inside of me. And this is where this message comes from. It's from personal experience. I'm telling you, David said in Psalms 139, he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know why you won't ask God to search you? Pride. You're afraid. You're afraid of what God might find. And I'm going to be honest with you. That I could see it and I would tell the Lord, "Now Lord, you're going to have to help me right here. I cannot get this in my mind and in my heart. And we got to take care of this." And pride is a scary thing. And it slips in when you're not watching. And it'll slip in if you're not watching. But three things that we deal and that with pride. Number one, first of all, the danger of pride. Pride allows us to see our accomplishments without praising the Lord. We think we've done it and we forget Him. I'm going to tell you, it's not me. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. If anything good comes out of our vacation Bible school, yes, we've worked, and yes, we've prayed, and yes, we've worked at it, but it's going to be because of Him. Listen, it's going to be because He worked in them kids' lives. It's going to be because He took something you said and done something in their heart that made a difference. Amen. I believe in being obedient to the Holy Spirit. I have no doubt about that. But I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Luke chapter 17. Go to Luke 17 with me this morning. This will help you. It helps me to remember this. I'm seriously thinking about printing it and hanging it in my study if you want to know the truth. But look in Luke chapter 17 and look in verse 7. Luke 17 and verse 7, most of y'all know this scripture, should. I'll let you get there. I want you to see it. You might want to underline it in your Bible. Luke 17, verse 7, the Bible said, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat'? And will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink'? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not." Jesus saying, "I think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you." Now notice what he said. "When you've done what's commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.'" we've done what we were supposed to do. We didn't go above and beyond. Well, Vacation Bible School is going to be about, no, it's not. It's really not. Listen, it's going to be out of the ordinary of your schedule, but in our service to the Lord, our whole life ought to be spent in service to Him. And what it does, what pride does, is when anything good happens, it'll build you up in your mind and think you've done it. I'm going to tell you this morning, we can't do anything without Him. I'm telling you, we've got to get that in our mind. We don't give God the praise that He deserves, and pride comes in. In Judges chapter 7, the Bible said, "Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon," y'all know the story of Gideon, "and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. So that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, 'The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, My own hand hath saved me.'" You know why God took Gideon's army from 32,000 men all the way down to 300? Because He said, if I leave them that many, they're going to think they've done something. They're going to think that they've accomplished it. They're going to think that they've won the battle. Why do you think God did not want David to number Israel? It was because He would think that he could accomplish whatever he wanted to do. Listen, I want men you to understand this today, that the danger of pride is it gets between us and God and gets us in front of Him, and we think that we can make something happen. It does not matter how hard I try, I can't make anything happen. I still get amazed at what God is able to do with my feeble attempts of preaching sometimes. And the folk that listen on the radio, I get response from the radio and get response off the internet, and it just blows my mind that this boy from East Tennessee who knows nothing a lot, that I could help somebody by the help of God. That amazes me. I still get amazed at that. And that folk will listen to me on the radio. I still get amazed that you all even come to church here just to hear me preach. I do. I mean, that's not me putting on, friend. I still get amazed that you've come. Amen. Listen, don't let your praise turn into pride. Don't let your praise turn into pride. Remember, that's a good title for a message, ain't it? Amen. I may title it that the next time. Amen. But that's pretty good. And now I'm going to get prideful about that thing, ain't I? Amen. Listen, if we ain't careful, God will move in our life. And God will take something that we done, that we begged Him to do, pleaded with Him to do, and God done it. And then the next day, we'll think we've done something. Boy, it ain't been us, it's been Him. That's what pride does, you see. It's like our nation. It's like our nation. People think that we've really accomplished something as a nation, but God has blessed our nation. He's the one that's given us what we've got. He's the one that's made us what we are. Hey, it's only by the grace and the mercy of God, friend, that we've even got something to eat and something to drink, let alone all the other stuff that we have. Don't let your praise turn into pride. It makes us forget God sometimes. Talking about pride, what does pride do? Why does He hate it? That proud look, why does He hate pride? It makes us forget God. What do you mean it makes us forget God? If you go over to the book of 2 Samuel, you'll find that David committed adultery and he committed murder. Why? He committed adultery because he was somewhere he didn't. He should have been in the field fighting when he was still at home. He seen Bathsheba. She was pretty to look on. He called for her and here she come. He ends up committing a murder because of the adultery. And all that time, he thought he was going to get away with it. Somewhere along that line, he had to forget God's commandments. How do you know that? Well, if you go back to the book of 2 Samuel 12, I'll go back there. You don't have to go unless you just want to. But if you go back to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12, what was it? Nathan that's standing before him. Let me find Nathan. He's standing before him. And he's talking to him, and he tells him that story. And you know, he tells him, "Thou art the man." And he gets down here in the middle of his conversation with David. And he said, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight?" He said, "You despised what God said." He said, "You despised his word." He said, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me." That's what God told him. He said, "Look, David, in your pride," he said, "you've despised my word and you've despised me." This is a man that God said was after his own heart. That's scary. It made him forget God. It made him forget God's word. It made him forget where God had brought him from and what God had gave him. What was it? I believe it was. Let me see if I can find it. What Nathan said unto him. Let me back up here. In verse 8 of the same chapter, here's what the Lord said to him. "And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." He said, "David," he said, "look, I'm the one that put you where you are. I've gave you everything. I've gave you, you've got everything because of me. And if you would have wanted more, all you had to do was ask." That's all you had to do. But David forgot God. Ain't that something this morning? Habakkuk put it like this. He said, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him." It's not right. God, I want men you to understand this. The danger of pride is it turns our praise into pride. We'll forget who done what. Just like David, he has forgot God in his sin. I'm telling you, that thing scares me to death. It scares me because here is the situation. I'm just going to cut to the chase right here. Pride is very deceptive. It's very deceptive. I want to show you something. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. Go to 1 Samuel. I mean that's our nation's in the mess because it's deceptive. Church people's in the mess because it's deceptive. Look in 1 Samuel 15. Saul is coming back from what God supposedly told him to do. Well, let me rephrase that. He's coming back. God told him to do some things, but he didn't do it. If you go over and you look at the first part of the chapter, in verse 3, God said, "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Inspire them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Go destroy it all. Don't leave nothing. Wipe it out. You say that's kind of hard. It is kind of hard, but that I'm just telling you what God said. Sometimes God tells us to do some hard things. But if you look in verse 13, he's coming back. And when he comes back, he has spared Achak, the king. He has brought the best animals back, and that to make sacrifice. But by verse 13, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord." Now pay attention. "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." I don't think Saul was just saying that to say it. I think Saul honestly thought he had done the commandment of the Lord. He was deceived in the very thing right here because of his pride. And you know what, Samuel, the very next thing Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have." I love it how it already becomes somebody else's problem. Did you catch that? I mean, he said, "I have done what God said to do." Samuel said, "Well, what's the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?" And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. That ain't what God said to do. God said destroy it all. So you know, by the time you get through all this right here and you get down to the end, the Bible said in verse 22 over here, said, hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He said, look, Saul. He said, God would just rather have you do what he told you to do than to have these sacrifices that you brought back. He said he would rather do it. He went on to say, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And you'll find out that Samuel worshipped with him one more time. He caught him by the skirt tail. Saul did. He worshipped with him one more time. And that was the end of it right there. And God rent the kingdom from Saul's hands right there. Why? Pride. It cost him. In the end of that thing, it cost. And I'm going to get there here in a minute. There is the danger of it. It becomes deceptive. And it ought to scare you to think that you could be deceived into believing something wrong about yourself. I hate self-deception. I guard against it. Why? Because it, for lack of better words, I'm scared of it. I think you ought to be scared of it. Because you can't, once you get in pride, you can't see the situation you're in. It makes us forget God. It puts us in front of God. Man, that scares me to death. But then number two, the doings of pride. What does pride? I mean, the prideful or what? What are they? Well, at one point the Bible says they're arrogant. You know, it's arrogancy is giving oneself an undue degree of importance or to be haughty. The Bible said to fear the Lord is to hate evil, pride, to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. When Hannah prayed in 1 Samuel chapter 2 after she had Samuel, she said, talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The prideful are arrogant. You ever been around somebody that's arrogant? Man, I can't stand arrogant people. I can't. I can't stand to be around. They're conceited, ain't they? I mean, that's another sign of pridefulness is they're conceited. Now, if you ain't careful, that'll slip in on you. You know, what was the old bluegrass standard? The devil will slip it off his foot and slip it on you, you know. And you'll wear that shoe. I think about the arrogancy of the world. They think about who is God. You remember Nebuchadnezzar said the same thing to Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said the same thing to them when they said, we're not going to bow. He said, no matter what happens, we're not going to bow. And here's what he said, then I'm going to cast you into the burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, he found out. He found out. I mean, listen, not only did he deliver them out of his hands, but it was just a few years later that God puts him in the field eating grass like an oxen and growing his fingernails like claws and that on an eagle. Who is that God? He found out.
Yes.
But the shame of it is, if we're not careful, it'll slip into our life. And we'll act just like the world sometimes. I hate pride. I hate that thing. It makes us arrogant. It makes us conceited. The Bible said, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He said, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Why? It makes you prideful. Makes me prideful. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceits? Proverbs 26 said, there is more hope of a fool than of him. There is the opportunity that you might help a fool. But if a man is wise in his own conceits, if a woman is wise in her own conceits, you can't help them. You can't do it. It don't matter what you do, you can't help them. They're boasters. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Psalms 10 said, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. They're conceited and arrogant. They're boastful. And if we ain't careful, church, I'm telling you, I've seen some things in my own life this past week. And me personally. And I'd sit there at the house and my mind would begin to work and wonder. And does your mind work and wonder? Does it begin to tell you you're doing all right sometimes? Listen, if the Lord tells me I'm doing all right, I'm in good shape. Amen. Ain't that right? If you're doing what God wants, here's what I've learned. If you're doing what God wants, you're in pretty good shape. Amen. If you're following the Lord. But I don't want me telling me that. Y'all ever have that problem? Y'all ever have the problem of discerning between you and the Holy Spirit? I do. I'll be honest with you. I try to pray. It's just like this message right here. I tried to obey that thing in prayer from the time I got it till the time I studied it till this morning. When I got up early to look over it, I was bathing it in prayer, trying to make sure this was the right message for the hour. But it makes you boastful. You may not come outside or out loud and say it, but it'll make you boastful towards yourself sometimes. You'll get to thinking you've done pretty good. When really, if anybody accomplished anything, it was the Lord. Listen, I'm not wanting you to beat yourself down. I'm not wanting you to beat yourself down, but what I am wanting you to do is get a hold of your flesh. And realize that thing. Realize that pride is dangerous. And it'll cause us to do things that we should not do and normally would not do until it gets built up in us. I know I've told you this story before. I was holding revival over in the country over there. And man, they just bragged on me. Man, I mean bragged. I mean, preacher, we ain't heard preaching like that in a long time. And that was on Monday night, and by Tuesday night, I was hearing the same thing again. And I got in that car, and on the way home, I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I said, you're going to have to help me. I said, my head's going to get so big, I'm not going to be able to get back in that church house. And the scary part of it is when we get like that, and especially in my position, and that I think that I'm really doing something good in preaching, my preaching's going to suffer. Yes. My preaching's going to suffer. My ability to pastor is going to suffer. It's like going over to the nursing home. Them ladies over there and them men over there, they'll build you up, man. I mean, you go over there, one of them ladies, I was preaching that message I preached here on Wednesday night about a month ago, whenever I preached it. I preached it a couple weeks ago over at the nursing home when I need the prayers of those I love. I had one of them old ladies that loved God. I mean, she was holding on to my hand and she was barely above a whisper. She said, preacher, I believe that's the best message that I've ever heard on prayer in my whole life. I ain't talking about somebody that didn't go to church and didn't love God. I'm talking about somebody did. That'll build you up. And my standard answer is, and I mean it from my heart, is I'm glad. We're going to give the praise to the Lord, and I'm glad God could help you out of it. I really am. Because number three, there is a downfall of pride. You know, there is a reaping day because of pride. Saul found it in 1 Samuel. Saul found that reaping day. Not only did God rent the kingdom from him, he killed him. I don't know how else that thing. I mean, God chose David to be king. There's no doubt about that. He was going to succeed King Saul no matter what. But that does not mean that King Saul had to go down the bad road. He still could have been a good king out to the end of that thing. You know, the prodigal ended up in a hog pen, didn't he? Why? Pride. There's a downfall on that thing. There's a downfall. David, the sword, in 2 Samuel, the sword never departed from his house. I mean, up until that time, up until his sin, you don't see, all David done was fight battles that was without. At home, man, things were great. Where do you want things to be great at home? We know we got to fight battles out here. We understand that. If you don't understand that, then you're really in trouble. Amen? It's like that one preacher, he handed me a book here sometimes back on suffering. And I said, when I get a chance, I'll take it and read it. It's written by a preacher that I knew of, let's put it like that. And he said, I hand these out to folk. I said, that'd be good. And he said, I handed one to a dear lady one time in the church, said she read it and brought it back to me and said she didn't believe it. And I said, do what? She didn't believe it. He said, no. Said God wants his people to always be happy and never suffer. Well, that ain't scripture. That ain't scripture at all. I don't know where you get that. I mean, Brother Bob read it this morning. So, tribulation worketh patience. We're all going to go through tribulation and trial. We're all going to face problems. But that don't mean we got to bring them on ourselves because we're prideful. You know, when David done what he done with adultery and the murder of Uriah, the sword never departed. David had Joab go out and number Israel. And Joab was telling him, David, we don't need to be doing this. We don't need to be doing this. But yet David prevailed. He was the king. You know what Joab done? He went out and he numbered Israel. And there was a period of time in there that David could have stopped it. Because it ain't like he could number Israel overnight. And David could have stopped it. You know, there's always a period to stop things. There's always a period that you can stop and repent. And so when Joab brought him the number and give it to him, and David seen it and heard it, the Bible said, then his heart smote him. He knew he was in trouble then. And you know what ended up happening? Because of his sin, it ended up costing him 70,000 men. I mean, go over to 2 Samuel chapter 24 and read about that over there. It brings shame. The Bible said in Proverbs 11, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly there is wisdom. Pride brings shame. It brings contention and strife. Only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 28, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. There's always a fight going on. But this is the most fearful one if you really want to know the truth. Proverbs 16 said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I don't like contention. I don't like being in shame. I don't want to bring shame to the Lord. I don't want to bring shame to the church. I don't want to bring shame to me and my wife and to my family. I don't want to. You know, Nathan told him over there. He said David, when he'd committed that murder and that adultery, he told him. He said David. He said you have given your enemies a reason to blaspheme against God in what you've done. What's he talking about? Well, David was God's chosen man. God chose him to be king. He talked about God all the time. And here now this man has committed adultery and committed murder, but it stirs up strife. And David had that in his house from there on out, contention and strife, because of his pride. Because of his pride. But then it brings destruction. Pride goeth before destruction. Holy Spirit before a fall. Pride always, listen to me, I want you to hear this, it always ends up in destruction. It destroys. It destroys. Now, what do we do? What do we do? What are we supposed to do with pride? The Bible said in James chapter 4, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be in humility. We're supposed to live in humility. Whatever God's word says, let's line up with it. Have a place in our heart. Listen, it says, God, listen, I just want to do what you want me to do, Lord. Would you show me in that book? Let me read this book. If you really want to know what God wants you to do, read his book and pray. Pray and read his book and read his book and pray. I'm telling you, that'll help you a long way. If you'll just read and pray, pray and read, read. You know, my pastor used to say this, and he was exactly right. He'd say, reading clears up a lot of things. He said he hates a proud look. It's an abomination. It scares me. It scares me. Because I know what it does to people. Not only have I seen it happen in Scripture, but I've seen it happen in life. I'm going to be honest with you. The man that used to be my friend who's sitting over in the jail right now because he killed his wife. That's really bothered me. Because he didn't get there from serving God. He got there because he got prideful. And he quit serving God. That thing has really resonated with me, because I'm just going to be honest with you. It can happen to any of us if we quit guarding ourselves. And if you think that it cannot, then it's already going to get you. And that's the scary part. Let's bow our heads this morning if we would.